Good morning. It's wonderful to see so many children here this morning. Children are something special. They are not only a gift of God, but God loves children dearly. When you think about it, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who was on a mission of salvation, Cletus, he took the time to be with and bless children. And so we need to learn to bear with children who are trying to learn how man should come and worship God. Children are a blessing. They are a gift of God. And we should love them as the Lord Jesus did. The gospel of Christ. For those of you who were here last Sunday evening, we mentioned that gospel means good news. And if someone comes home from the doctor, they say, I've got a gospel. That means they've got good news. Now, we don't use that word that way anymore. They used to. Today, that word gospel is almost only prevented, if not only used, in talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus. The good news of Christianity. The good news of salvation that God has sent to us. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, I am proud of the good news because it is the power God uses to save everyone who believes. To save the Jew first and also to save those who are not Jews. The good news shows how God makes people right with Himself, that it begins and ends with faith. As the Scripture says, but those who are right with God will live by trusting in Him. When the Apostle Paul knew and realized his time on earth was almost at an end, he sat down and he wrote a letter to a dear friend and fellow servant, Timothy, whom Paul had taught to be a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. In that brief, and trying to encourage Timothy to be a good minister, to be a good worker, to be a good evangelist of the good news, in 2 Timothy 2:15, according to the King James Version, Paul said, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul understood the necessity of studying the good news. Sometimes we take good news for granted. But God has given us some good news. And Paul says it is important that we study, that we learn, that we understand what the good news is all about. And the teaching of Jesus Christ is my title today, the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. We need to understand in what ways this is good news for mankind. And that it is still a good teaching for all Christians today. Regardless of how long we have been Christians, will there ever come a point in our lives when we can say, I know everything there is to know about Christianity, about God, about the Bible, about the good news, I no longer need to study? Well, if you come to that point, my friend, you are in trouble. Because we can never know enough and understand enough about the good news of Jesus Christ. When you say you don't need to study the Bible, then Satan has gained control of your thinking and of your lives. Because Satan doesn't want you to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. I knew a man in Germany. We were having a home Bible study to the topic of Matthew. And I invited him to come, and he said, oh, Matthew, because I read that book so often and so long, because I know what's in it. and didn't want to come to the home Bible study. I found that very sad, that someone thought they didn't need to study the book of Matthew because they'd already read it a number of times. We can never know enough about God or about His gospel that we come to the point where we say, I don't need to study anymore. But I have met those who have claimed that they want to study only the words of Jesus. I'm talking about those portions of many Bibles that are in red. They don't want to study the letters because they say that's church doctrine that has nothing to do with gospel, that has nothing to do with God's plan of salvation. But how wrong those people are. Because doctrine technically means teaching. That's all it means. If I say the doctrine of the church, it only means the teaching of the church. And where do you think the apostles got that teaching? You know, when Jesus was about to leave the earth, He told the apostles that they were to hang around Jerusalem. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And this Holy Spirit had a task. He was to help them to remember all of the teaching that Jesus had taught them so that they might teach it. So when we talk about church doctrine, we are also talking about the teaching of Jesus Christ. There is no grace, there is no love, and there is no freedom in Christ without doctrine. The good news taught by Jesus Christ. 11 times in the gospel we read of the gospel of Christ, and 1 time we even read about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The thinking and the thought is that Jesus is at the center of all the teaching about the gospel of Christ. The good news of Christ, the good news of the church, the good news for the world. For centuries, the prophets had foretold the coming of the Messiah. The people were looking forward to this time with great anticipations. You can read about that anticipation in the Gospels. The people had expected and known this was the time of the Messiah. They knew and realized He should be coming. And He did. In the body and form of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4:4, Paul said, but when the right time came, God sent His Son, who was born of a woman and lived under the law. God chose the right time to send the good news of Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus at the right time. There are some who teach even today that Jesus failed on His task and has to come a second time to correct it. You know what kind of teaching this is? I'm afraid that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth. They say Jesus failed to do what He needed to do when He was on earth the first time. Therefore, He has to come a second time, this 1,000-year reign of Christ, to correct Himself. But that is not the good news of Jesus Christ. When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, and lived under the law. Two of our Gospels start off with the description of Jesus, of the birth of Jesus Christ. John, though he does not go into detail of the birth, as did Matthew and Luke, in his Gospel, in that first chapter, he strongly affirms the incarnation of the Word, the Son of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And what good news that was, that Jesus Christ came to live upon the earth in the form of man. Think about it. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That is good news. And at the birth of Christ, we read, the angels rejoiced at His coming. They rejoiced at the birth of Christ because they knew God had great plans. He had good news for mankind who was lost in their sin, who were suffering and dying and who needed good news. This morning, though, I hope to look with you at four aspects of the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's much more. But I'd like to not preach for hours this morning, I think you too, and just concentrate on four aspects of the good news of Jesus Christ. First, the message of Christ is good news because salvation is in His name. It was no mere coincidence the angel said you were to call this baby Jesus. Jesus shares the same root as the Hebrew word for to save. Jesus was to save His people. And therefore the name Jesus. In the Old Testament, normally when we think of the word Jesus, it's in the form of the word Joshua. And the name Joshua is only used 8 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is the word Jesus and Joshua is also used, I discovered 4 or 5 times. But to mean to save, to rescue His people. And that is the reason Jesus came to the earth. His mission was that of salvation, of liberation. He was to liberate all people from sin. Let me read to you Acts chapter 4. This is the verse 10 through 12. Peter teaches, "We want all of you and all the Jewish people to know that this man was made well by the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. You crucified Him, but God raised Him from the dead. This man was crippled, but he is now well and able to stand here before you because of the power of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has given people to be saved. We must be saved through Him." Let me ask you, did Peter doubt that salvation was found anywhere but in Jesus Christ? He was so assured of this fact that he used that word only. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry that there's Islam in the world. Muhammad does not have the word of truth. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Nor does the teaching of Hindu or the teaching of Buddhism. If you want salvation, there's salvation in only one name, the name of Jesus. What great news! Jesus is Savior. But what is He here to save us from? Just briefly noted, Jesus did not come to save us from sickness. Yes, He healed many people during His lifetime. But His main purpose was not that of healing people from that type of sickness. He also did not come to save us from poverty as we know poverty upon this earth. Oh, He did care about the poor. He even reminded the apostles and the church to take care of the poor when they could. But that was not the reason Jesus came to the earth. There was something better than earthly riches. As we've seen, wealth can fade away pretty quick when the stock market goes down, can it? Money can burn. Banks can go bankrupt. Dollar bills can be lost. And you can find them. But what Jesus brought was better. Jesus did not come to save us from these things. He came to save us from sin and from the wages of sin, the consequences of sin. And that is the good news, because the Bible teaches all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Sin brings death. Death brings destruction, separation from God. Jesus came to save us from this death. And from all of the things connected with sin and death in the world. He came not only to save us from the addiction of sin, He has come to save us from the guilt of sin, that we might stand before a holy and just God. And yes, I chose that word addiction on purpose, because that is what it is. We have an addiction to sin. Just like you have an addiction to drugs, you can have addiction to alcohol. There are many forms of addiction, and sin is an addiction. Because don't you enjoy doing it? You must, or you wouldn't be doing it. And so the good news is that Jesus has come with the power to break our addiction to sin, to end the circle of addiction, and to clear our conscience and guilt before the Lord, that we might stand before God. This is good news. I like what Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 18, 20 through 23. The person who sins is the one who will die. A child will not be punished for his parent's sin, and a parent will not be punished for a child's sin. Those who do right will enjoy the results of their own goodness. Evil people will suffer the results of their own evil. But suppose the wicked stop doing all the sins they have done and obey all my rules and do what is fair and right. Then they will surely live. They will not die. Their sins will be forgotten because they have done what is right. They will live. And now the important part. God says, I do not really want the wicked to die, says the Lord God. I want them to stop their bad ways and live. Hope you heard that. That's the good news. God doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to go to hell. But He says, for those of you who would like to live, there's a word called repentance. You have to stop your wicked ways and follow the ways of God if you want to live. God doesn't want the wicked to die. Jesus came, and Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, He gave Himself as a payment to free all people. He is proof that came at the right time. God wanted to prove to us, He wanted to show us that no man deserves to die because of their wickedness. That's why He sent Jesus, to break the addiction to sin, to break the guilt, and through repentance, salvation, and faith, to save us from that death, from that judgment of damnation. Paul also in Romans 5, 6 through 8 said, when we were unable to help ourselves, at the moment of our need, Christ died for us, although we were living against God. Very few people will die to save the life of someone else, although perhaps for a good person someone might possibly die. But God showed His great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God wants to save us. He sent someone to die for us, that we would not have to die. Jesus' love has washed away our sins. He did that with His blood. So it is the gospel of Jesus Christ we preach and no others. For only the gospel of Christ is good news. Only in Him and His name is salvation. Secondly, Jesus is good news because He brings those saved of all races, of all languages, into one body, which He calls the church. How many of you know the story of the Tower of Babel? Tower of Babel? 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 This is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. What happened to the Tower of Babel, Charlie? I'm asking you because you're up front.
Thank you. The languages were divided.
Why?
So men could not work together. So they were trying to get to God.
They were doing evil together. And because of their evilness, God confused their languages so they would split apart, spread across the earth, and not be able to do great evil together. This is the reversal of that. Jesus has made it possible for all people in all languages to come together in unity in the church. That is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. In the church, we have not only fellowship with one another in peace and in love, but we have fellowship with the Father as well. Yes, this is good news. Christians, we are living stones. That means we are used to build the temple of God. Is there a temple of God today? Yes. Not in Jerusalem. It is spread throughout the world in the form of Christians. God takes us and builds His temple, stone by stone, Christian by Christian. We are also called the family of God because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have an older brother whose name is Jesus, who died for us. We are blessed with a noble mission, the mission to take this good news to the world. Because the world desperately needs some good news, doesn't it? Watch the news. Sad. Thirdly, Christianity in and of itself is also good news. Because the saved person enjoys a new life in Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever thought, oh man, I wish I could have a new start at life. Or I wish I could have a new start at my job, or a new start at my love. How many of us have thought that at one time or another? If only I could have a new start, things would be better. There's good news. We have a new start in Jesus Christ. He has given us new life. He has given us the ability to start over. Isn't that good news? I talked about addiction before. The blood of Jesus frees us from the ugly addiction of sin. God has made it possible for us to break away from the sin of adultery, the sin of fornication, the sin of pornography. He has made it possible that we break from lying, from stealing, from greed, and from prejudice. Cannot these things, if we practice them in our lives, destroy families? Can it not destroy churches? Can it not destroy neighbors and ourselves? Addiction is evil, it is wrong, and it destroys even ones whom we love. But the good news is, Jesus has made it possible to break this addiction and to start life anew. The Apostle Paul explained to the Christians in Rome that when they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone, and everything is made new. Isn't that wonderful? A second chance in life. God has made it possible. Jesus teaches us the best way to live is God's way. Not the ways of the world, but the ways of God. God has watched mankind kill and hate and fight wars. But He has taught us, love your enemies. Jesus has watched people commit adultery and perform all types of illicit sex. But Jesus taught us a better way. He says, don't even think about it. Don't even think about lusting after someone else. Just don't do it. We can always turn away, can't we, Cletus? God looked at us and He saw dishonesty and deceit in the way we handled our lives, the way we handled business affairs, the way we handle other people. And Jesus taught a better way. Say only yes if you mean yes and no if you mean no. If you say any more than yes or no, it is from the evil one. He saw unbridled greed in the community. And He introduced a better way. He said, be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. He saw vanity and pride in positions of power, positions of leadership. But Jesus introduced a better way. He said, whoever wants to become first among you must carry a big whip, a strong paddle, have an army. No, He said, if you want to be first, you've got to learn to serve the others like a slave. Think about that. To be an elder is not a dream job, because they have to be your slaves. They have to worry about your souls. They have to worry about correct teaching. But they have to serve the church like slaves. Because that's the way Jesus thought and knew would keep away vanity and pride. Yes, Jesus Christ is good news because He teaches another way, a better way of living. He offers a workable, and I emphasize that, a workable solution to the problems of violence, crime, lust, and greed that prevails in our society here in America. Let us shout this news from the treetops, from the mountaintops. Let's use the computers and the airwaves and the television. People need this good news. Fourth and last, because my time is all gone, Jesus is good news because He destroyed death through the good news. He showed us the way to have life that cannot be destroyed. 2 Timothy 1:10. In Him and only Him is there any hope of life beyond death. Life beyond the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 17. We believe that Jesus died and that He rose again. Do we believe that? So because of Him, God will raise with Jesus those who have died. What we tell you now is the Lord's own message. We who are living when the Lord comes again will not go before those who have already died. The Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and those who have died believing in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be gathered up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will live with the Lord forever. Is that not good news? Jesus Christ is good news. And Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, so my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything change you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. For those of you who are already Christians, are we not indebted to take this good news to the world? Are we not indebted to see that Plymouth Church of Christ passes this good news in any way we can to our community, whether it be advertisements in newspapers, the radio, television, door knocking, talking to neighbors, talking to schoolmates? Is that not our debt to God and to our fellow mankind? We have what they need, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We have fellowship. We have a new life, and we have hope beyond the grave. Don't we want our neighbors and friends to have that too? Are you a Christian this morning? If not, why on earth aren't you a Christian? What good reason could you possibly have for not believing in Jesus Christ? What good reason could you have for not wanting salvation from the addiction of sin and from death? Jesus Christ is calling. He has made it possible for us to turn from a sinful lifestyle in repentance. He has made it possible for us through baptism to obtain salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And if you think maybe you're not up for the task of being a Christian, who is? But God, in His forethought, gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the Christian and who helps the Christian in his Christian walk. No, Charlie is not strong enough, Annette is not strong enough to try to be a Christian by themselves. But thank God, they have the Holy Spirit. And is anything impossible for God? God can do all things, the Bible teaches, including seeing that Charlie gets to heaven. That's a lot of work, isn't it, Charlie? But not just Charlie. I could say Lee. I could say, I'm sorry, it's Kyle. I want to say Lee's father. God can see that we make it to heaven. Is that not good news? So why are you waiting? Come this morning. Accept Christ. Repent of your sins and wash away those sins in baptism. And become a part of the church, receiving the Holy Spirit, and getting a new start in life. Why wait? Come as we stand and sing.